Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
Washington! What a play call!
You're listening to the best of the Commanders.
And it is good! Washington wins!
A weekly mix of 106.7 The Fan and 980 The Team's best NFL talk to get you ready for game day.
I thought Jaden Daniels was going to play.
I thought he would too.
Me too.
And I thought that because it didn't look like a very serious like re-injury.
Right.
Also because they said he could have come back in the game.
They could have come back in the game. He looked good in practice. He was out hanging out with J.P. Finley at that Christmas bike
giving away
charity
100
event.
Bikes. Yep. Yeah.
Didn't have like a brace on. And
nope.
If it was that bad, he wouldn't have gone. But he was there. It was cool. And so I thought yesterday, I said, he's going to play. I think we all agreed he was going to play.
I was pretty convinced he was
going to
play. I
thought that there was a chance that they would pull some shenanigans. Right. I did think that.
Well, maybe they did because they announced last night that he is not going to play.
That did surprise me. It was very disappointing, by the way.
It's very disappointing.
I'm considering having some sort of boycott. Like, I actually thought maybe I'll do like a live stream of me like picking my boogers or like something instead of watching a game. Because like, why would you want to watch Marcus Mariota play again?
Now there's a 100% chance you watch Phillip Rivers and the Colts.
But actually, that's 4 o'clock.
That's a 4 o'clock game.
Oh, right. That's way more interesting.
You watch another 1 o'clock game.
Maybe I'll have like a bowling appearance or something. Yeah,
maybe
I'll go bowling at one.
There's like, no reason to watch.
Why would you watch
it.
The game now? That game's meaningless.
Yeah.
Mariota blows. Those poor guys out there grinding, I'm root for them. But, I mean, here's what they're doing. They're holding Jaden hostage. Please, I want to come out with T-shirts. Free JD5. Free Jaden Daniels. This kid's desperate to play. The mom wants him to play.
Mommy.
And all they do is hold him back. He tweaks his hammy a little bit. They hold him out forever. He tweaks his knee a little bit. They hold him out forever. Now he tweaks his left meaningless elbow. Play the clip of Jay Gruden. Do you have it? Jay Gruden did another podcast. We played him from Grant and Danny. Play the clip where Jay must be. He and I share the same brain.
Give me a sec.
Okay.
I think you should play.
Jay and I share the same brain. Well, let me finish my rant. My rant is.
Other people can talk.
Well, let me finish my rant.
All right, go with your rant.
My rant is they're holding him hostage for a meaningless, trivial injury.
Yeah.
Shoot him up, pat him up, give him 100 Advil. Not going to hurt him. For one game.
I wonder if this is.
There's no reason not to play.
I wonder if this is. I think you brought this up yesterday. I wonder if this is all of Dan Quinn's decision, or if it is coming from Adam Peters or even higher up.
I had not thought about it.
Even Mr. Harris.
But you're probably right.
I think Quinn and Peters are in lockstep in most things. So it probably is collaborative.
Because it just doesn't make any. I mean, I know you've been eliminated, so the games don't mean anything.
Yeah.
But you still have to play a young quarterback. He's got to play.
A week ago, he just talked about how he needs these reps, how important they are in the development of a young quarterback.
He just said that, right?
And he said he could have come back in the game. That's the thing. He said he could have come back in the game. We saw a video yesterday of Jaden looking loosey-goosey, throwing the ball around at practice.
Mm-hmm.
This is a decision, I think, that comes from higher up than Dan Quinn. And I think the most telling response yesterday, and we'll play some of the audio, was when Scott Abraham flipped the question.
Mm-hmm.
Because everybody asks, what are the benefits of playing? Do you want to get Jaden back on the field? And he's been used to answering that question, like, we want him on the field. So Scott Abraham flipped it and said, what are the benefits of holding him out? And I'm telling you, Dan Quinn stumbled and bumbled.
He wants to win games even though they don't matter. He wants to play his best player. I just don't think this is all Dan Quinn.
He doesn't want to get fired either, which I don't think is going to happen. But if you lose 12 games in a row, which the runway is there.
It's possible.
It's possible you lose 12 games in a row. An owner could say, you know what? Maybe we need to make a move. So he does want to get wins, in my opinion.
Hell yeah.
And he would want to play Jaden Daniels, in my opinion. I felt like everything yesterday was coming from
Matt Peters. But he's going to take the brunt of this.
Yeah.
Dan Quinn's going to take the brunt.
Right.
He's that coach. He's the one who makes, he makes the announcement.
He has to appear like he's insane.
Even if it's not all him.
I buy it.
He's got to be the focal point.
Just like he took the brunt when he was in the Seahawks game late.
Yeah.
But as I was sitting at home or whatever, when I saw this news, I think I was driving back from the golf course or something, and I saw it, and I was just scratching my head. I'm trying to figure out the rationale. What could they possibly think to justify this? It's the left elbow. Literally meaningless, okay? It's meaningless.
Yeah.
They said, and they acknowledged, he said 100 times, there's no structural damage to it, right?
Right.
So it's perfectly fine. Maybe it's a bruise. The only thing I can think of is they don't want to go through the rigmarole of, if every time he's thrown to the turf, it is going to hurt.
Yeah.
And it's going to be painful.
Yeah.
And
do you bring him out?
And I don't want to just have that scene every time he gets thrown to the ground. So I'm trying to avoid that. That's the only thing I can think of. But even that's dumb because you just shoot him up with a painkiller and give him 100
Advil.
I know you don't want to hear this, CB.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of people that were happy to hear this news. You know, the whole shut him down crowd. I mean, it was almost 50-50 when we did a Junkies poll. Oh, yeah. Adam Peters might be one of those guys who wants the better pick.
Could be. I don't.
And I felt like this shut him down. And I'm telling
you, we'll play tanking move.
We'll play the Scott Abraham clip in a moment of Dan Quinn responding to the question.
I know that you can play that first.
I'm just saying, when you listen to the answer, you can interpret it. That was my interpretation, and I could be 100% wrong. My interpretation was Adam Peters said, "Hey, we're shutting him down." And Dan Quinn, you're just going to have to deal with it.
It's a lost season. Let's get the highest pick. I can see that.
All right, Valdez.
They would never admit it, but I could see that.
Do you have Jay? All right, so this is Jay, and I don't even know what it was. It was some sort of show, podcast, something.
I think it's a Broncos podcast.
Broncos podcast. Yeah. Okay.
My issue is I think the Washington football team, Commanders or Redskins, whoever they are, they treat him like a China doll. I think he should play this week. I think he should have played the week before with his hurt arm.
I agree.
Justin Herbert's playing with a left arm cast. He's running around stiff-arming people. His arm's not going to fall off his body, for God's sake. If I'm a player, if I'm Terry McLaurin, if I'm Bobby Wagner, if I'm Daron Payne, and they're treating this guy, he's fine to play, and he's not playing. It's a Wednesday practice. I'm like, man.
He goes on and on.
That's where Quinn, if he's getting pressure from Peters, he has to go to Peters and say, well, I'm going to lose the locker room if I don't play my best guy when he's playable. You know what I mean? Like,
he's in a tough spot, though. His boss.
It's a tough spot, but he's got to be like, you know what? I'm going out of my shield here. I'm playing Jaden Daniels, even if you don't want me to play him.
But it could be coming from Josh.
It could be higher up.
Because Adam Peters played football, too. He's a tough guy.
Could be higher
Josh
up.
Is a tough guy, but, you know, let's be honest. wrestler. I mean, you know, tiny wrestler, like a 100-pound wrestler. That's different than a real wrestler, as far as I'm concerned.
I might say tougher.
A 100-pound wrestler? They just wrestle another guy that's 100 pounds.
Yeah, but the whole process of cutting weight and going
man. I'm taking a shot at wrestlers. My kid wrestled. I have respect for wrestlers.
Man to man. Did you guys see Grant Paulson's tweet? The visual of Grant Paulson's tweet, if you didn't see it, we retweeted it at Chunks Radio. Jason, just look at this, and this is game by game what has happened to Jaden Daniels.
Yeah.
Yep.
Game number one, healthy. You can go through the rest.
All right, game one, stayed healthy. Green Bay, knee injury. Obviously, we saw that. Raiders didn't play. That's when Mariota had that great game. Atlanta didn't play because of the knee. Chargers played. He was healthy. Looked decent. I know you pointed out the numbers yesterday. Chicago, healthy. Fumbled. Dallas left with the arm injury. I'm sorry, left with the hammy injury. Kansas City didn't play. Seattle left with the horrible injury to the elbow. Didn't play. Minnesota started, left with the injury. Giants not going to play. Eagles probably not going to play. Dallas probably not going to play. Eagles again probably not going to play.
The title of the tweet is what was most impactful. It was that in the 11 of 14 games, Jaden has either been pulled
or missed.
Yeah. Unavailable or injured.
Yeah.
All right. Can we play DQA?
It's one of the worst seasons ever for a young quarterback.
So it's pretty brutal.
I mean, the only thing would be worse is if he missed the entire year.
Right. I'm pretty sure this was Dan Quinn's response to Scott Abraham. Maybe you'll hear Scott Abraham. I haven't previewed this clip, but DQA, I believe, is that.
We haven't really gone down that road yet to decide. He's out this week, and he's working hard to get back. But as far as what decisions are ahead, like we just haven't gone down that road. He's working incredibly hard to get back with the guys. So, we're really bummed he got, re-aggravated on this specific injury. Going into it, thought he had a good week. There were things to improve upon into the game to get started. But, we haven't gone down all the way yet. We just, kind of went through the first evaluations this week to get ready to play. So, I'll have a better update as we're moving forward.
It's just, it belies logic that the doctors wouldn't clear him for a left elbow boo-boo. Well, I don't get it. Because the doctors didn't clear him. That's what they're saying.
I don't know if I believe that.
Yeah. You can make a doctor say anything.
Yeah, but I just don't know if I believe
it. you've got guys playing with broken limbs.
The biggest thing is, the biggest thing is, the coach himself, in the moment, said he could have gone back in the game. Didn't want him back in the game because we were off.
But he could have been wrong. I agree with him. I think you're right. But I'm just trying to look at it from all angles. They could have said, oh, he could have come back in the game. But then they reevaluated and saw something major wrong. They were just wrong. They're saying.
Because he said no structural damage.
No structural damage.
No, dude. He wouldn't commit.
He's got a left left elbow. Meaningless.
What'd you make of that answer? He wouldn't commit to Jaden's coming back later this season.
No, I think it's coming from the owner.
I actually think now
it's coming from the owner.
If Josh Harris is making the decision, all right, then we can't criticize Quinn ever or Peters. If they were one game back of the division, he's playing.
Of course.
Right.
He'd have played the second half.
I mean, Jackson Dart has had multiple concussion issues this year, right? And they're eliminated.
Right.
He's going to play.
Sure.
They're not holding him out.
He's
a young quarterback.
He's not sliding either. That dude just plays reckless balls out.
So
football
it makes more sense that it's not Dan Quinn's decision. It comes from higher up.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered. It's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
This holiday season, choose gifts that feel thoughtful and practical with Omaha Steaks. Whether you're hosting or gifting, they deliver the world's best steak experience, and it makes you look like you planned way ahead. They've got USDA-certified tender steaks, juicy burgers, comfort meals, and tons more. Gifting Omaha Steaks is honestly one of the easiest wins. Everything arrives beautifully packaged, super convenient, and the quality is unbelievable. Their filet mignons are some of the most tender I've ever had, and the variety means you can personalize every gift. Plus, orders placed by 6 p.m. Eastern ship same day, and everything is backed by their 100% guarantee. It's holiday gifting made simple. Save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide during their Sizzle All the Way sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code T-Bone at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com, code T-Bone.
B. Mitch and Finley, 106.7 The Fan. Big news breaking that Marcus Mariota is going to start on Sunday. I think it's crazy how, like, we were getting so many calls to sit Jaden. Then they play Jaden. Now people, I can't even really judge what the reactions are. Because the calls have been all over the place.
You know what it is, Jay. You know, when you say do something, when you decide to do one thing, people want you to do the other, and if you flip it over, they'll definitely jump on the other side. This deal is basically where, remember you said, Taylor, you always tell you don't believe what the players say?
Right.
If they ask Jaden, you okay? He said, yep. Can you play? Yep. Well, the doctors go in to check, and that doctor is trained to feel for stuff and also listen and watch your reaction. So if I come in and I grab you, and I'm like, grab your arm, and I'm like, how does that feel? And you're like, oh, that's cool. But I see you kind of, it's a little tender to you, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And at that point, I tell the coach, listen, he's okay in his mind, but I believe you should let him stay out. I believe that it's still a little tender. We should err on the side of caution. And then the coach says this, that, and the other, and they come in, and Adam walks in, and probably Josh, okay, we're going to protect him from himself. Remember the old sermon I always say, calm a fool rather than protect it, than, I'd rather calm a fool than resurrect a corpse. In this sense, he's a fool. And it's not in a bad way. This is in a positive way. That fool wants to play. He wants to be out there for his teammates. You got to calm that. You got to protect him from himself. He's not the one that's going to ever sit around and say, oh, I can't go. You know, just be chilled. You don't need to go get him uplifted. He's ready to go anyway. And that's probably what happened. Because I've been to many a doctor, and they're like, does that feel good? I'm like, I'm cool. But you know what? They are watching me jump. They know the little thing that they see when something happens. But I don't know how to say, no, I can't go.
Well, and I think, and I don't know if you agree, but I think the calculus changes on if Jaden is a little sore when you consider the output we saw in Minnesota was dreadful. That's the worst performance this team has had in 2 years. Mm-hmm. You've got four games left. You're 3-10. I think at some point, listen, Jaden fought like hell to work his way back. They built him a special brace. He played last week. He re-injured the elbow. Mm-hmm. Like that, the calculations are different now than they were a week ago.
They are.
And
they are
and
different.
I think that's okay. Like,
but that's the ultimate thing. It is okay. But I think we have to learn to sometimes ask questions that are more simpler instead of making things kind of like lifted in a sense. Like, it's not everything's not so drastic or so out there. Sometimes it's as simple as this. He's hurt, he play. He hurt, he doesn't play. He play if he's not. People think if he's hurt, he doesn't play. If he's not 100% hurt, then they think he's 100% healthy. You got space in between there somewhere. You know, if you're 40% hurt, you're 60% healthy, right? But you're still 40% hurt. You probably shouldn't be out there on the football field. Because if the other guy's 100%, he's going to destroy your ass. Okay? I think the ultimate thing comes in, everything has become so mesmerized because of how we react every day to damn social media. And that's why everybody's response is so outlandish. We don't think about stuff in a human aspect. We think about how we're going to get rises off of everything. And that screws up the whole topic sometimes. We forget about the actual topic and we start trying to win a discussion or an argument about something.
I want to let Landfill weigh in. I know he was answering calls, but Professor Landini, what do you make of Marcus going back now?
I guess it's not all that surprising. You know, the Jaden left the game with an injury that he's not going to play the next one. Just overall, it's been a pretty terrible year. And I guess it's just going to keep going terrible for us.
I was just saying to B in the last break, what a mess of a season. Just an absolute mess. And this is just more of it. You know what I mean? Like, I still think you got a hell of a player in Jaden Daniels. At this point, through 14 games, he's finished four. He's played four complete games. Mm-hmm. So if you want to make some declaration of what he is or isn't based on this season, you're entitled to that. I'm not. I think 2026 becomes vastly important because that's when you'd pay him, is coming off that season, after mm-hmm. three full seasons, when you can enter into those discussions. They were excellent last year. Jaden was phenomenal. This year has been a mess. Hit these calls. My guy Uncle David is on line one. What's up, David?
Hey, want to welcome Pete Alonso to Baltimore.
Hell yeah.
Here's my bigger problem. My bigger problem is with Kingsbury. I don't think he called great plays for Jaden last year, but he needs to change the plays that Jaden runs this year because he's not 100%. He's not the same player. And I don't think that Kingsbury is protecting Jaden enough from himself and from the other defenses, and I got a lot of problem there, so I'm glad Mariota's starting.
Appreciate you, dude. Thank you. Good call. Let's go to line six. E is in D.C. What's up, E?
What's going on, fellas? Thanks for taking my call. I think it was a good decision. We have to, you know, account for, you know, when you dislocate anything, yeah, you can go sit in an offense desk, but if you're talking about, you know, rolling around on an NFL football field, that's an entirely different ask, and especially when you're talking about re-aggravating something. And I just haven't seen enough consistency from him off the field with having the types of reps to do this. And I think they get caught in him being such an X and O's guy that you got to, as coaches, I think he can hang with them in a way that makes them feel like they can put him out there on the field with rust when a lot of other quarterbacks you just wouldn't. But that still can be dangerous, and they have to be careful and how much they put on his plate just because how much they believe in his ability. Because even Cliff was like, man, okay, guys, like, this is pretty much as good as it gets. Like, he really believes in his quarterback when it comes to what's going on in between the ears. And so do I. But they're still going to have another version of this. And it seems like when Marcus gets in there, Cliff's offense is working. So we got to be still, you know, Jaden, to my point, it's not all Cliff. Because when Marcus gets out there, the quick game, things are happening. So that means it's the same offense. They're called, it's the same signals. Nothing is different. You just go in and know that five can give you more. So he's still going to have to make those reads, and I still think he needs that time. And my question to y'all right now is, if training camp started tomorrow, for example, where he is, you know, forget the injury, but just with time, would he look the same? Because y'all was like, yo, he's got it. It's certain looks and certain things that y'all were able to see when he was coming into the league and certain stuff that y'all knew right off the bat. Y'all was telling us on the radio, like, look, y'all, we don't say stuff every year. I know what that ball is supposed to look like coming to that sideline. I know what that ball is supposed to. I don't know if he has that same confidence right now as he looked in that second game when he threw that ball to Terry and Cincy. So where is that guy? Where's he been, and how do we get that guy back? You know, and that's what I'm really focused on. I think that is an off-the-field thing. That just doesn't happen on field. That happens off the field, man. So I want to know what y'all think about that.
It's an on-the-field thing. It's an on-the-field thing, but I just think that I agree with you that the confidence level may not be there right now. I think injuries and pain brings a different level of comfort, a comfort level. I can also say one thing to you. You can look at the offense and you can say it's the same, but you know what? Not 100% the same. I have this conversation with a few guys consistently that I know football and know this offense, and they know how defenses are going to prepare it, and they see something totally different. So I would just tell you, don't just look at the plays. Look at the how the read aspect of it. And things are a little different when those two different quarterbacks are in there. They have the same minds, the same mindset of an offense, but they're not running it exactly the same.
What a freaking mess. I mean, 3-10, underdogs to the Giants. I wonder if that – where's my phone? Has that moved with the Mariota news, or do you think Vegas had that baked in, B?
I don't know.
I saw it. You could find it as high as 2.5 at some spots. Now it is, 2.5. So I think Vegas kind of knew that. One thing that was really interesting is I was looking around at fantasy stuff this morning, and they had Mariota listed on all the, like, quarterbacks to play this week. It was all Marcus.
Mm-hmm.
So the fantasy people certainly thought it was going to be Mariota. What's crazy is, like, whether it's fake or not, like, the outrage at every possible decision. Because when
it's not fake. It is the norm in this day and age.
But then people want to change. Like, let's all just approach this honestly. Dan Quinn said after the game he could have gone back in. Okay. Then on Wednesday, Dan Quinn says after the medical people have looked at everything and considered all the options, they're now. He's not going to play this week. Like, that doesn't necessarily mean any of that is true. Like, they could just be shutting him down, and this is how they're going to handle it. They're not going to tell you they're shutting him down, but that's what they're doing. It could be the medical people. That could be what's happening. Could be some combination of both. But, like, trying to trying to consider everything the coach is saying at all times is the 100% truth, and that's why you have questions about it, to me, at best, is naive. And if it's something more than that, where you're out on this staff, so you want to be critical of everything, okay. Like, they've lost 8 in a row. You can be out on this staff. That's reasonable. But, like, yeah, he said Sunday he could have put him back in. That was my decision. You know what Dan might have been trying to do? After the Seattle debacle, just show I'm taking care of my guy so everybody knows I take care of him. Like, a million things could be going on right now outside of if he is or isn't fully able to play. The videos are out now of him at practice. He's practicing right now. He looks pretty darn good. But you know what's not going to happen to him at practice right now?
He ain't getting hit.
He's not going to get shoved down to the ground and maybe land on his elbow again.
Let me just say this.
I just think we're searching for like an overly simplistic answer that doesn't exist.
I'm going to try to give a suggestion moving forward. The Eagles won the Super Bowl last year, right? And they're sitting in first place right now in the NFC East, right? If you turn on that radio in Philadelphia, nobody cares. Just like they won, just like we were great last year, you forget about last year's a new year. That your thing about living and breathing organisms.
Right.
We were great last year. Let's think about this year based off of this year. And stop worrying about how good it was last year to judge everything this year. And I think you, when you begin to erase last year and think about this year, we haven't seen that team last year, this year at all. Not even in the first game we didn't see it. Not even no game we've seen it. We didn't see it in our San Diego, in our L.A. This is a new team this year, and they are nowhere close to what the team was last year. And if we keep our mind on this and separate, because we are still, every time we see a bad play, well, last year they did this. Let last year go. Because I guarantee up there about 175 miles, nobody is judging them based off of last year. They want to run the Sirianni. They want to run everyone out of town right now. Learn to forget about last year and think about this year. And that's why I'm at a point where when I see stuff now, a lot of stuff I expect. Like last year, like you said, I expected this in a sense.
Certainly not a surprise.
Yeah.
If you came into today surprised, like if you came into today expecting undoubtedly that Jaden was going to be the starter this week, I would think that's a little. I had somebody that works in sports text me yesterday, do you think Jaden plays? You know what my reply was? I don't know.
That's been mine the whole time. Well, man, you over there, you supposed to know. How the hell I'm supposed to know if they don't know?
Right.
I guarantee they didn't know until the last moment.
Right. All right, nobody go anywhere. It is B. Mitch and Finley.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
This holiday season, choose gifts that feel thoughtful and practical with Omaha Steaks. Whether you're hosting or gifting, They deliver the world's best steak experience, and it makes you look like you planned way ahead. They've got USDA-certified tender steaks, juicy burgers, comfort meals, and tons more. Gifting Omaha Steaks is honestly one of the easiest wins. Everything arrives beautifully packaged, super convenient, and the quality is unbelievable. Their filet mignons are some of the most tender I've ever had. And the variety means you can personalize every gift. Plus, orders placed by 6 p.m. Eastern ship same day. And everything is backed by their 100% guarantee. It's holiday gifting made simple. Save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide during their Sizzle All The Way sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code T-BONE at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com, code T-BONE.
Jaden and where we're at. So he did re-aggravate his elbow injury in the game. No structural setbacks. However, through the medical evaluations, you know, over the last couple days, including this morning, doctors advised us we hold him this Sunday. And so Marcus will start. And we're really bummed for Jaden. Like, he is working incredibly hard to get back on the field with his guys. And so tough.
Seventh time in 14 games that Jaden Daniels will miss a game with an injury this season. 11 out of 14 games, he's either gotten hurt during the game or he hasn't played at all. So there's been three games where he started and finished a game completely healthy this year for Washington. Welcome back, Grant and Danny on the Fan. I think DQ could have saved himself a lot of time this season if he just recorded that we're bummed for Jaden, he's not going to play, Marcus gets the call, we're thinking about Jaden, he's an awesome competitor.
We're not going to miss him, Mark. Return to play, you know, all the seven different Mad Libs, hold it up, play it, and walk out of the room.
We have heard that one a handful of times. But we feel like, speaking of things we heard different answers today on the shutdown questions. Hey, are we going to see him again? It has been pretty emphatically a yes answer to that. Either directly saying, yes, he will play, or in a longer-winded way, Dan Quinn has talked about why it's important to get him back and why they hope that they do. Today, they haven't thought about it. They haven't talked about it yet. They're thinking about the Giants. Very, very different tone. What does that tell you? Did someone intervene? Was ownership or Adam Peters involved, do you think, at this point in dictating terms? Or are we overthinking it? It's just a week-to-week thing, and maybe he wasn't willing to talk about next week just yet because you can't give the Philadelphia Eagles any competitive advantage.
No. No, they're sitting there waiting for one, and you can't give it to them.
If you give them a competitive advantage, they might beat you next week.
Then what happens?
Let's go to Ryan and Culpepper on Grant and Danny. How are you, Ryan?
Hey, guys. That sure did sound like Riverboat Dan. What he really said is, I wish we wouldn't have made the NFC title game last year. I wish this was year one and everybody was injured. And then year two, oh, look at us. We made it to the NFC title game. And CJ5, I'm calling him CJ5 because he's just like CJ Stroud. Anyone, anywhere, anytime. If anybody wants to give me three number one picks for him, I'll give it to him right now. All right. Stay with me, guys. One, two, three, Cancun. Woo!
Cancun. Next stop, Cancun, is funny. Thank you, Ryan. Much appreciated. Look, we mentioned the standing piece yesterday that if you're afraid he can't get through a game without getting hurt, then you should be advocating that they move him. That's not a real conversation at this point, nor should it be. Let's not forget how hard it is to find a quarterback who can play. It took 30 years of wandering around the desert with little blips for a year or two or three years at a time where it was passable. It is impossible to find the thing that it looks like they found if you can keep him on the field. So let's not forget that in this discourse.
It's worth waiting for, is what I would say. It's worth trying to figure out and pursue to all ends.
Now, you do have my attention when you compare Dan Quinn to Ron Rivera, because I remember many, many, many conversations before we ever started this regime where we compared the two. They're very, very similar, very comparable resumes. My joke has always been that they're not the same guy, but you find them on the same aisle in the coaching store. When you walk into Coach Authority and you're looking for a coach to walk out with, next to Ron Rivera on aisle 7 is Dan Quinn. They're right next to one another. One wears a backwards hat, the other doesn't really wear a hat. That's about the difference. I since have updated my file some last year. I think Quinn is Rivera like several years earlier in terms of more energy. And he is a better culture builder. Players adore and love him. All the stuff we said about Ron, but a lot of those were from the prime of his career in Carolina. I think Dan Quinn, who's younger, is a younger spirit as well.
Well, this sounds way more cynical. The biggest difference is Dan Quinn didn't want to do personnel, and Ron did.
That's
Ron wanted to half-ass that job and not go to the combine and not go to the Senior Bowl and go play golf because he was tired. Don't take both jobs then, right?
I'm just talking about them as head coaches.
No, I'm with you.
Yeah, that's very different.
But my point kind of is there's a lot of crossover between the two.
But remember, in year one, and Dan Quinn gets to an NFC Championship game, nobody will ever be able to take that away from him. I think you can thank Jaden Daniels. He did a lot of good, heavy lifting, culture building stuff, no doubt. But after year one of Ron Rivera, it was in Ron we trust. Anyone who didn't buy in was a maniac. How dare you question anything he does? And then it changed over time. Like, we have done this before. We've seen this movie. If he can't get this thing back together. Jay's in D.C. What's up, Jay?
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey, man.
Thanks for taking my call.
Sir.
Hey, look. First of all, everybody keep talking about, I wish we wouldn't have made it to the NFC Championship game last year. Those people must have not been on the plane with me and you, Danny. You remember last year, me and my buddy, we took pictures with you when we flew up to Detroit and all of that stuff, man. And that was a magical ride, man. I'm never going to take that away and say I wish that hadn't happened.
Agreed.
It's great that that happened. But I'm also glad that this year happened, because last year had us believing something that really wasn't what it should have been. But this year is now bringing us back to reality. So it's good that we had both, right? But what I feel is I feel like there has been some change with how they're treating Jaden Daniels and everything. And first of all, let me say, listen, Grant, coach authority is diabolical. I loved it. I was coach authority. That's is diabolical. Coach's authority.
That's funny. I think I do remember when it would have been the Tampa game when we flew out, what you were referencing. But yes, I mean, that. For the record, the caller before him wasn't saying I don't think that he wishes they wouldn't have. I think that he's saying it sounds like when Rivera talked about toward the end of his regime, the worst thing that happened was the expectations got set too high after year one. I think he was comping how Quinn sounded to that. But yeah, fans will have that forever, man. That was the best year this team has had in over 30 years. And for my generation of fans, that was necessary. That was a prescription to fix a problem. That was medicine that we needed. That was good for the heart. You know, that healed the soul. Let's go to Lou in Silver Spring on G&D. What's up, Lou?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Yeah, it sounded a lot like he was addressing everyone's questions without answering any of the questions. So it definitely felt like they left it open to shut it down, which honestly, like, I really don't have a problem with at this point. I get it, because I feel like you go from, last year's season kind of giving you enough clout to get you next season and your seat not getting hot and all that. But God forbid, if something really happened to Jaden at the end of this season, then you might be on the precipice of just a full on blowout. But the team needs really wholesale change all across the defense. Got to tweak the offense. I told Smooter on the post game show, I said, if they don't do something with the offense to protect him and just get better quick outs, different, get the ball out of his hands, that Jaden will never even take a snap in the new RFK come 2030. Thanks.
Appreciate you.
Thanks, dude.
Well, 2030 seems a long, long time away right now. I'm just really worried about getting him to take a snap in 2 weeks, week one of next year, respectfully. But
I see the point, yeah.
One of the things he did brilliantly in his first year was the quick game, the fast processing, knowing where to go with the ball before the snap. And that has gone away. We talked about this yesterday. Some of that might be adjustments where people are squatting on your first look, and now you got to process and read through it, which he did really, really well last year. It does seem like the adjustment defensively has been made to take some of those things away, but he's not seeing it as well. I think a lot of that comes back to just being in and out of the lineup.
Yeah.
It's like being out of work for a week, coming back for 2 days. Being out of work for a week, coming back for 2 days. You might not be in the rhythm or as effective at your job either. And I really believe that has not only stunted his development, but what you're talking about, which is getting the ball out, helping the offensive line. Like when Mariota plays against Denver, the best pass rush in the league, the pass rush was not a problem. We did nothing but heap praise on the offensive line all of that week, saying they were amazing. They statistically had the best game against the pass rushing team that is number one in the NFL. And nobody had that successful a game keeping a quarterback upright and away from pressure in multiple years. So the game before when Jaden plays against Seattle, the line's terrible. The game after Mariota and Denver against Denver has that game. You play against the Vikings, blitz happy, I understand, another great defense, and the offensive line's terrible again. It seems to me like maybe the quarterback's got to help a little bit more than he did in those games. Why isn't he? Well, some of that, to me, just comes back to not getting enough time to play, and I hope that fixes itself next year if he's able to string a bunch of weeks together as a rhythm player and rhythm passer. Let's go to Mark in Largo. What's up, Mark?
Hey, guys. Look, Grant, both of you guys, I wanted him to play too. But I do have some good news for you guys. This is not just the Commanders thing that's happening right now. That's why they're not the talk of the town. If you look at everybody that did pretty well last year, everybody, they either struggling to make the playoffs or they're outside of the playoffs or they're like Minnesota and Washington, they're totally eliminated. There's a chance that everybody that participated in Championship Sunday in January, there's a good chance that none of them will be there. Philadelphia acts like they don't want to go to the playoffs.
True.
Kansas City is on the outside looking in. Yep. And truth be told, if Buffalo loses to the Patriots and the Eagles, they don't have the tiebreaker over the Texans. So they could be out. And Philadelphia could, you know, just say, you know what, the heck with it. We ain't going to be in. You know, we don't care. Let Dallas go to win the division. And we're out of it. And everybody is out. But here's the problem that I think Washington – I think you have to look at if you're Adam Peters. This is the out of all the bad decisions he's made in the last year and a half, this is the best decision he's made, even though I wanted him to play.
What decision are you referencing?
Do you think he said he dictated?
Jaden.
Oh, you think he went to Quinn and said, we're pulling the plug?
I think seeing Zach Ertz, what happened to Zach Ertz traumatized the coaching staff and management. I really do. Mm. I think it traumatized to say, do we want this to happen to Jaden? Is it really that important for him to play? Or should we just focus on if we tank? Here's the deal. If we tank and we get a top five pick, we could trade out of it with Pittsburgh, more likely. They'll give us everything in the kitchen sink. We'll get what we want. But we got to be adamant on free agency. And they're going to – and I'm going to tell you something now. They're going to have competition. They're going to have to overpay.
Well, they got
to
be aggressive.
Yes.
They can't sit back and do one-year deals with 35-year-olds. You want to get better?
They got to win the bidding on a couple guys, I think.
See New England's blueprint this offseason. They go out and they paid a ton of money for Milton Williams. They go out and they spend money on Stephon Diggs. I could go on and on, mostly on defense, by the way. But they fixed a lot of their problems in one offseason to elevate a young quarterback, and they said, we're not going to stink. The AFC's open, the division. We got one team to worry about, which, by the way, came back to the pack pretty sizably anyway. They knew they were going to have a soft schedule. They had a culture-building first-year head coach, and they said, we're going to throw a lot of talent at the problem. Now, they didn't think they'd be the one seed. They didn't think Drake May would win an MVP award, but I think they felt like they could maybe go 9 or 10 wins.
Yeah, they'll be better than 4-13.
And it's happening. But they spent big, aggressive money on studs. They didn't sign 27 guys, right? They signed a dozen guys, 7 or 8 of them were really, really good football players. And that's maybe the offseason you need to try to have if you're Washington. But you're going to have to throw some money at issues, and they got to draft better. There's no doubt about that. Let's go to Ed in Hagerstown on the Fan. What's up, Ed?
Hey, good afternoon, gentlemen.
What's up, bud?
I look at this from a standpoint of 2 years ago. They had extra time in coaching this, developing a young team, and mold the quarterback. Well, this year, they humbled themselves, and I call it humbling, is the fact that it appears at the start of this season, they were playing well, but the preseason and also all the practices, they were very easygoing. Okay, if you want to play, no problem. We will, you know, we'll base it on our laurels. Well, I think what's happened now is they got humbled, and I think this coming next year, they're going to have to go back to what they did the first year, go back to basics, get a couple of good offensive linemen to protect your quarterback,
and let him develop slowly.
Appreciate you, dude. I think a new approach to preseason training camp, et cetera, is warranted. Now, they were fairly soft, and Dan Quinn, you know, was veteran deferential in year one, and obviously everything came up perfect. But the tone this year felt way more complacent, I think, to the caller's point. I think it's something that you and I both noticed kind of throughout.
I thought camp was way more laid back this year, and the preseason proof's in the pudding. Look at the snaps and the reps and the amount of work guys like Jaden got. I mean, it is what it is. I mean, they basically decided. I thought the whole feel of the summer was a very we've arrived mode for them.
Yep.
You had arrived, and then you got kicked out of the club.
That's right.
So now what do you do? How do you get back?
They towed your car. How do you get back?
Jaden Daniels out for Sunday against the Giants. Dan Quinn announced that a little while ago. They didn't take this one until the end of the week. Kind of interesting when you consider that it was he could return Sunday, then he's sore on Monday, but now the doctors are advising him not to play this early in the week on a Wednesday. But there's no serious injury, no structural setback, nothing like that to the elbow. We are talking about, by the way, the non-throwing elbow again. Real quickly, because several of you have sent this to me, about the, is it the Ringer who wrote this? Daniel's scrambling rate is up by 3 percentage points over last season. That's a number Washington wanted to bring down after Daniel scrambled on nearly 13% of his dropbacks as a rookie. His scramble rate is up to 15.7% in 2025. This is worrisome, the Ringer writes. I mean, the scrambling rate's up by a whole 3 percentage points. 2.7 to be exact, over last year. Let me just put a little bit of context to that. Just a little bit, okay? Because I want his scramble rate to come down. I want his scrambles to be play extensions to throw the football, which we've seen some of this year, but not as much as last year, in part because he hasn't played there anywhere near the amount he played last year. But let me just real quickly mention that the one game, the game that really you have to throw out in terms of a measurement and an evaluation game for Jaden is the Seattle game. Because of the fact that we've learned, most of us have, you can check with Kime and Logan and everybody else, receivers in the game that were in that particular game weren't even running the correct routes. Remember how quickly he would take off and run? It's because he looked to where they were supposed to be. They weren't there. Well, that Seattle game, by far and away, was his highest scramble game of the year. He had 9 scrambles in that game out of his 10 rushing attempts. So it was by far and away the highest scramble percentage of the season. You take the other games, the scramble percentage overall was equal to or less than what it was last year. So that game does skew it higher, the Seattle game. And there's a lot of us that know at least the feeling out there as to why he had to scramble in the Seattle game. What do you think you heard Dan Quinn say? Because my immediate reaction is he's done for the year. Maybe, you know, a bit premature. You come back and play against Philly and Dallas. You're probably not going to play him in the season finale. Most teams that are out of it, that's the game where it's like, let's protect our best players and let's give our young guys a shot to play. I mean, there's no Sam Howell situation here that we got to, you know, Taylor Heineke's going to have to talk the coaches into playing. Let's go to Randy in Leesburg. Randy, what did you think you heard the coach say?
Hey, Kevin. Thanks for taking my call. I just want to say, sure. Kurt, big fan. Love the show. Love the podcast.
Thanks.
You spent a few moments with me at the Burgundy Soul show a couple years ago. I appreciate that. Anyway, it may be odd, but I think you absolutely, if I'm managing this, you have to consider the playing surface up there. It sucks. The NFLPA hates it. I know it's knee-related, leg-related, but, you know, when it's going to be cold, it's going to be a hard surface. You're dealing with this kind of injury, I think 100% the playing surface has to factor in. I'd hold them out, too. The last three are all on natural grass at home in Philly. Let them play. But I would consider it for sure.
That's an interesting point, and you are right. The Meadowlands, that turf is among the top two or three in the league in terms of they want it out. The players hate it. We've seen so many non-contact injuries. It's going to be cold, but it's not. I don't think it's supposed to snow. I mean, I can look up that forecast in a moment. Yeah. All right. Let's go to Anthony. Anthony, go ahead. What do you think you heard the coach say?
Kevin, at this point, it's almost like this is a Murphy's Law year. I mean, yeah, Murphy's Law season.
Yeah.
And I think they're being...
So they're superstitious?
It's at the point now. No, it's at the point now, like you like to say, is the juice worth the squeeze? I agree that he needs the reps and he needs to play, but is he really going to benefit from it at this point? I think that's debatable. And the last thing that they will want to happen is to put him out there for meaningless games, and then something disastrous just happens. I think the year is a wash. Like you say, I think he's done for the year.
Anthony, remember, like, the conversation started with 5 or 6 games left, right? Before the Denver, if the Denver game was a possibility, we were talking about more than a third of the season left. Once we got to 5 games, we were talking about nearly 30%. Now we're talking about 3 games left when he comes, if this time next week when we have our next conversation about him playing. So the amount of opportunities left has always been a driver of this. I felt you don't sit your starting quarterback with 30% of the season left or a third of the season left. Quinn said the same thing. So now if he's ruled out for this week, now we're talking about, you know, at the end of the day, we're talking about 1/6 almost of the season left. So, yeah, it's a little bit different, and that's why I think I feel like by the time we get back to December 20th, which is a short week, not for him, but for everybody else going into it off of Sunday's game because it's a Saturday afternoon game, that maybe we've seen the last of Jaden Daniels this year.
I agree. I mean, like I said, well, I mean, like your mantra is the juice going to be worth the squeeze at this point of the year?
Yeah.
It's debatable.
Yeah. 5 games left for me, zero. Of course it is. That's my view.
Right.
We get down to 2 or 3 games left, yeah, maybe not. Although 3 games left, and he's going to play in 2 of them, I think I wouldn't mind seeing it. But, yeah, thanks, Anthony. Appreciate it. Let's go to Paulie. Hail to the W.
Big guy, hail to the W, man. I think I heard a couple of things. I think he said they're not going to be coaching scared, but I think they are coaching scared.
I think so too.
Yeah, the coach is scared, and also I'm starting to question how close to 100% was he. I know no player's at 100%, but you're telling me one fall to the ground, he's sore, and now he's out for the week. I mean, it just sounds like, you know, like the last caller just said, is not the risk ain't worth the reward anymore because he's not playing for anything, and also I think Cliff thinks at this point Mariota gives him a better option because I think he thought his offense was hamstrung last week. They didn't want to run Jaden. They didn't want to run any read options. They didn't do any quarterback powers. And as we know, that's part of Cliff's offense.
Yeah, we'll see it Sunday with Marcus. And by the way, against a not very good defensive team, the way they've been playing recently, the Giants.
And like we've been saying for the past couple of weeks now, they desperate for a win. We just said he can't go, you know, he can't lose out the rest of the season. This is their best opportunity for a win for the rest of the season outside of that last game because you don't know what Philly will be playing for. But
the Giants right now, by the way, Paulie, the Giants right now 31st in the league in run defense.
Okay, yeah, we don't run the ball, so what does that matter?
No, I'm making the point for you that he likes to run the ball with the quarterback being involved. The quarterback was not involved in the run game Sunday in Minnesota by choice and by protection. With Marcus Mariota, Mariota's going to run 5 quarterback counters and zone reads minimum in this game.
Right.
He'll be a part of the run game.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, so, yeah, like I said, I think Kingsbury felt like he was handcuffed last week. You know, and that's what he wants as part of his offense. And I'm going to say it again. I don't think Dan Quinn trusts him to keep Jaden protected.
All right.
Coach is scared.
See ya. Let's go to Frank in Charlotte. Frank, what'd you hear?
Yeah, what I heard, I kind of what Paulie's saying here. I don't think that Dan trusts Cliff, but a lot of that's just be real. A lot of it, they see the film. Okay, they see the film too. They see the same film that Kirk Warren saw. And I don't care what anybody says. The guy hasn't played well all year. Okay, that's why his scramble rate is up. He's not seeing a lot of the stuff. Yeah, maybe the Seattle game they were running the wrong routes, but there were other games. I counted three, and I've actually have looked at the all 22 when McCaffrey was actually healthy. There were three seam routes that he could have walked in for touchdowns, and he actually was looking at him. And he, I'm just telling you. Okay, a lot of
I'm just telling you right now. He graded out very highly in the Charger game, the Chicago game.
Okay.
And the scramble rate number was skewed by the Seattle game, where he scrambled 9 times out of the 10 rushes in the game. It was his highest scramble number of the season, and the reason for that is it was a complete S show at wide receiver that night. By the way, an S show up front, too. It was one of the few games, along with the Dallas and Green Bay games, in which they got handled at the line of scrimmage. But anyway, look, overall, if he's hurt, I don't want him playing. Thanks for the call, by the way, Frank. I'm at the end of the show. I don't want him playing if he's legitimately hurt. Clearly, I think we would all agree with that. I just think it's odd how we got here from Sunday. Could have returned to just soreness. He's fine. To now the doctors are saying he shouldn't play. But there's nothing serious, no structural setbacks. And by the way, it's very possible that between Monday and today, it got really sore. And it got to the point where it's like, I don't feel right. If he doesn't feel right, no.
You know, I don't want to get that many texts from our boss. And usually when you get it, you figure it's something really important. But this time he just sent something, right? This time he just sent like an interesting nugget from The Ringer.
Mm-hmm.
And it's definitely worthy of talking about. And it had to do with Jaden Daniels. And what it said was that Jaden Daniels last year was scrambling at about 13%. And this year his scrambles have gone up to nearly 16%. One might say that's only a 3% increase, but for a guy that's injury prone, if you're okay with me calling him injury prone, you would think that in year two, with a better offensive line, that you would want that scramble rate to come down. Instead, it went up this year. How concerning is this for you? And if you want to chime in, 1-800-636-1067.
I don't have a problem with the actual scrambling rate, because if Jaden Daniels is in trouble in the pocket, I would rather him try and bounce out and scramble than take the sack in the pocket and lose 7, 8, 10 yards. If he scrambles, the problem I have is he's not protecting himself, because his percentage of slides is very low compared to other quarterbacks like Drake May. Drake May has slid 15 times out of 50 scrambles, 30%. Jaden Daniels has slid 4 times out of 41 scrambles, and that's 10%. So he's taking bigger hits because he's not protecting himself as much. Now, we've talked about it before. Quarterbacks who slide, sometimes they can get hit hard. And now it's usually a penalty on the defense, and they can get hit in the head. But practical matter, if you slide, you're probably going to protect yourself a little bit more than taking the hit, trying to, you know, stiff arm a guy or get tackled.
Or so he goes face first a lot. He goes head first.
So I don't have a problem with the scrambling number, because 3% is very small. I have a problem with the fact that he's not sliding as much.
Yeah, the slide rate here, they have 5 quarterbacks listed. If you want to chime in, 1-800-636-1067. Again, Jaden Daniels slides 10% of the time. Caleb Williams is at 23%. Drake May's at 30%. Patrick Mahomes, 21%. Josh Allen, 17%. The difference between Josh Allen, Mahomes, and Caleb Williams,
bigger guys,
and even Drake May, they're all stockier.
Yeah.
Now, Drake May is not as thick as you'd think. He's pretty thin, like, in reality.
But if you look at him, you'd say he's a bigger guy than Jaden.
He's definitely bigger than Jaden.
Yes.
But he's probably only 10, maybe 15 pounds heavier than Jaden.
I would guess more, but that's just a guess. He looks heavier than
Jaden. When 10. I looked it up one time, he was listed. I mean, you never know with the listed. He was listed only 10 pounds heavier.
I don't buy into the listed numbers.
It's a little concerning, you know?
Definitely concerning.
If you look at just this last game, he had two kind of head-first dives, scrambles. See, maybe those don't get categorized as dives, where he went down head-first. But he had that one where he was just upright and like three guys were tackling. He puts himself in danger too much.
Yeah. It's hard, though. Like, I kind of, when you're watching it, we all understand. Oh, he's trying to get the first down. Mm-hmm. Do we want him to slide 5 yards in front like a Russell Wilson and not get the first down?
The other part of the equation is
if it saves him getting hit in the head or getting, you know, like a rib broken.
Yeah, but we're down 14-0 and we need a first down. A lot of times you need that effing first down.
I know.
But they're meaningful.
What are you willing to pay for the first down? Are you willing to pay him being out for 6 weeks?
Well, there's no guarantee, but there is a risk.
And sometimes he's not getting that first down on those runs. Mm. And maybe he needs to look at throwing more when he's outside of the pocket, because they also looked at what happens when he rolls outside of the pocket. How often is he throwing? He's only throwing 39% of his out-of-the-pocket dropbacks.
Mm-hmm.
They say that's the lowest in the league by far. Justin Fields is at 45%. Drake May is at 49%, so a full 10% higher than Jaden Daniels.
I'm going to say something unpopular and probably wrong, but it is how I sort of feel. And that's, this year is such a mess, and it's been so many fits and starts. I almost consider it statistically insignificant. He has played 7 or 8 games, parts of, anyway. And so, you know, there is some data there for sure, but I'm almost just going to throw it out. It's just been a disaster. Get back to me next year and let's see where we are. That's kind of where I feel like it's just, you know, every day it's like a new day. It's like starting all over and getting the rust off. And it's just been such a poop show this year.
It has been. And again,
I can't take these that seriously.
And again, I don't have a problem with the actual scrambling percentage at 3% more than last year, because he's a competitor and I want him to bounce out of the pocket. And if he doesn't have a guy open, try and get 8 or 10 yards as opposed to getting sacked in the pocket and not scrambling and getting a loss of 10 yards. I just want him to do a better job protecting himself once he gets out there.
Probably the answer is, if we are going to analyze it, is it appears maybe he hasn't, I feel like he's a little gun shy because of rust and et cetera. And he's not firing right away to these first reads or second reads or getting off that first read quicker.
Mm-hmm.
I think an emphasis that would take care of the second part would be getting rid of the football quicker.
Yeah.
Right? So before you even get to the running part, just get rid of the ball quicker.
Yeah. Like, but what he's not doing
quicker.
What he's not doing.
I feel like he's a little slower and he's holding on the ball a little longer this year. But again, I think that's because of rust and fits and starts.
Lack of reps.
Don't know the personnel. It's just weird. It's been a cluster.
What he's not doing, though, on those out of pocket ones. So I get it. Yeah, a quick pass, you don't have to worry about it. But on those occasions when he's bouncing out, he's not throwing the ball downfield. Now, maybe he's playing it safe. Like, he's very good with turnovers. Generally takes care of the ball.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe he should take a couple shots downfield versus taking shots to the body. Right.
And if I'm Cliff during the offseason, I'm going to have him work on sliding instead of the head first dives, because you're giving yourself up by sliding. They're not allowed to hit you. If you're diving head first, they can hit you all they want.
Yeah.
Like, that's, to me,
I think he's doing it on purpose. He's not stupid. He's doing it because he wants the yards.
Yeah.
He's
understood,
not dumb.
But it's less risky to slide feet first.
But then you don't get the first down.
Okay.
True.
For a guy that's,
but maybe it's not all for a first
point down.
I mean, what if it's first and goal or first and 15, and you don't need the first down right then?
That's what he should.
Yeah,
that's what he should.
If it's third and 8,
a lot of times it's 3rd and 8 when he just takes off, and he's gonna go for it because he is a freaking competitor. I don't care what anybody says; he's not gonna just give himself up.
I know he's a competitor, but I have if I want him to play here for a decade, I need to coach that out of him.
It's his MO, right? And look, you want to talk about a small sample size. They went through plays in the Minnesota Vikings game, and in one of the plays, they point out that Daniels passed up on 3 potential throws, 3 guys open, and he did, on a short scramble, get a first down, but as he got the first down, it was one of those head-first dives, and he dove right into a tackle.
Mm. Right. Again, If he gets rid of the ball quicker, that's where it all starts. If he gets rid of the ball quicker, all this other stuff takes care of it. And I do think, like, I don't think he can't read the field. He's proven he can read and make progressions. But I do think it's something that you need reps with. And when you haven't played in a while, you know, you get a little out of sync. You're not into the rhythm. And you don't make as good a reads. And you get a little indecisive. And you take off running and put yourself in jeopardy. And I think that's what's happened.
And this is another reason why I think he needs to play and not be held out for the rest of the year like a lot of people want.
Totally.
To sit him and protect him. He needs to play so he learns more about the position.
Yes.
He needs to learn more about
make
how
the
to
quicker
develop.
Reads.
Make those quicker reads and learn to get down when you're in trouble instead of diving or taking the tackle or taking the sack.
All right. Let's make out some of these calls. Let me see here. Let's go to Jim in Tysons. Jim, what's up, buddy?
Hey, Jim.
Oh, sorry. I pressed it. Don't know why it didn't come up. There you go.
Jimmy.
Jim, hey, bud.
Oh, hey, love your guys' show.
Thanks, man.
I'll be honest with you. I felt this way in the beginning of the year as going in and watching Jaden. Every time I see him run, there's a lot of folks in the town who love that. I cringe. And the reason I cringe is I go back to Robert Griffith and I go back to some other quarterbacks. And we saw we saw them go up the bell curve and they were up there. And as they started to come down, when things got tough and they couldn't locate receivers and they didn't have the game plan down exactly the way coaches, they ran. And I really believe we've got to get this number to 8 to 10% scrambling. I think in terms of his development, he has to find a way to stay in the pocket and locate receivers. And I don't know which one of you guys said it. I agree with you 100%. If he isn't starting to minimize the scrambling, he's going to have a really difficult career because he's got to locate the receivers and he needs to develop.
Yeah, I think he's just got to get rid of it quicker. But I do think that this year it's an impossible thing when you're playing every other game, right? You just can't get into a rhythm.
I agree. But one thing to think about, we all operate under the assumption that he's going to have better receivers next year. There's no guarantee with Peters or anyone that the receivers are going to be any better.
Right.
I mean, we're going to have Terry. We're not going to have.
You know what?
We're not going to.
Not going to have Noah Brown.
That's
probably
fair.
Probably won't have Debo.
That's fair. But you know what would be nice? And there's no guarantee, but it would be nice if whoever you have, they're at least available. Like, kind of the same guys. They got different guys. They're trotting out different guys every week. That's also contributing.
Well, I appreciate you taking my call. Have a really nice, happy holiday.
Yeah, thank you.
Same,
you too,
thanks.
Jim. I appreciate it. Thank you. Like, it's one thing. Okay, if you're going to have to go with Jalen Lane as your number two or number three, or Robbie Chosen or more. At least
those names, man.
Okay, they're not that good. I get it. But at least you know what you got if you have the same guy every week. They're putting different guys out there.
Yeah, but my problem is I want those same guys week in and week out
to get open.
To be better. I want them to be quality,
quality
NFL wideouts.
Of course.
Not guys that Adam Peters picks up the phone and says,
well, that's my
who's
point.
On the scrap heap that we can
that's
sign.
That's my point. Right. Guys like Robbie Chosen and Chris Moore aren't going to get open consistently.
Right.
You can make that argument, but I can also make the argument a guy like Tom Brady, okay, you say best ever, but he had run-of-the-mill receivers that he made great.
Well, it's Tom Brady.
Jaden did that last year. He did that with Oz and Deami Brown.
Right.
Yeah. He made those guys viable.
They were available. That's my point. When we have different guys every week, and he's in and out of the lineup, in and out of practice, standing there in sweats, up in the box, now he's playing.
That hurts, but I would
it's a cluster.
I would argue that Oz and Deami Brown are a couple cuts above Robbie Chosen and Treylon Burks and guys like that.
They are, but that's not who they were supposed to replace. They were supposed to replace Jalen and McCaffrey were supposed to replace them. And those guys, I thought at times
those guys seem to be serviceable.
Yeah, have proven their worth.
McCaffrey was carving out a role.
800-636-1067 is the number if you want to chime in on the topic.
All right, let's go to Elijah in D.C. Elijah, what's up? Y'all the Junks.
What's up, fellas?
Hey,
thanks for taking my call. I personally don't hate the running. It's not what you do, it's when you do it. And sometimes I would be frustrated at times they're trying to get defenses to respect a part of his game without presenting enough, you know, nuances. It's almost like a boxer going in there and he's not going to jab at all, but I'm going to heave a certain thing at you. This is what I'm good at, and this is how I'm good. No, you have to do a better job setting these things up. And they have to recognize, no, you can't, you know, the type of player he is, you don't want to hold him back, but you also don't want to push him forward in a way that isn't going to help him. And defenses this year, they aren't turning their back to him. A lot of people don't realize, if you look at the numbers, football is a numbers game. So he's trying to make decisions based off of, okay, this many guys got their back to me. This is what's open now. some of their game is still built off of finesse, which makes the quarterback have to almost, you're not going to finesse a good defense, grown men, up and down the field for 60 minutes. And they still trying to finesse people. And now we're seeing you're not going to be able to do that. And you're going to maybe in high school, in college, but after a while, and that's just what we are seeing.
All right, so hold on. Let me cut to Jason. So are you a move on from Cliff guy then?
This is more complex. And Danny, they didn't shut me down, but they was like, well, there are other guys that can be brought on. My problem is Cliff leaves, and then we draft a whole bunch of rookies who now have to have a different offensive coordinator. I don't know if everybody's on the same page about moving forward and how this is going to look and what are we going to rely on? And I'm looking at the game. I'm like, well, what are we going to hang our hat on next year? I'm not really certain. The offensive line and the running game, yeah. But they're elements that they do have that can be used next year. But some of these things just can't happen the way that they're happening. And so if Cliff goes, my concern is we're going to have to learn a new playbook. Even if, you know, Pritchard, he's going to Stanford. So he's talking about, yeah, we're going to go two levels down to get into. Come on, man. So we're going to have to really identify our game plan, identify our coaches accordingly. Because even if Cliff stays a year, then I think at some point this offense is going to change. So you might as well do it early. Or right. You might as well adjust it to the degree it needs so you're not behind the ball again, rebuilding a rebuild with
Elijah,
new terminology.
Thank you.
He's getting a little bit ahead of himself.
Yeah. Elijah, thank you.
Let's get Jaden Daniels healthy through one game, and let's go from there.
Right.
You've lowered the bar to just one game, not a season, not four games, just one game. Yes. I think the thing here is I agree with EB, 3% doesn't seem like much, but the goal is to keep this guy healthy, and you probably want him scrambling less. And he has to learn how to protect himself.
But
the
again,
sliding statistics, which Jason brought up, that is concerning. Like Drake May is sliding 30% of the time. He's sliding 10%.
But again,
everybody's sliding.
If he gets rid of the ball quicker, it makes those things less important.
Also the percent.
No, but they're just judging the scrambles.
I understand. But
also,
if he's scrambling less, it's okay if it's at a higher percentage if it's four times a game versus 10.
Yeah. But also the percentage of him not throwing the ball when he does get outside the pocket.
Yeah,
it's very low.
It should increase. But again, this year's been such a disaster.
It's been a real disaster all the way around. 800-636-1067. We're going to take more of your calls next on this topic. Is Jaden not sliding enough, not protecting himself enough in the pocket behind this line? You know what? People are on the fence here, but I don't have a problem with the actual number going up to 16%, but he's got to slide more when he gets out of the pocket. 800-636-1067.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
This holiday season, choose gifts that feel thoughtful and practical with Omaha Steaks. Whether you're hosting or gifting, they deliver the world's best steak experience, and it makes you look like you planned way ahead. They've got USDA-certified tender steaks, juicy burgers, comfort meals, and tons more. Gifting Omaha Steaks is honestly one of the easiest wins. Everything arrives beautifully packaged, super convenient, and the quality is unbelievable. Their filet mignons are some of the most tender I've ever had, and the variety means you can personalize every gift. Plus, orders placed by 6 p.m. Eastern ship same day, and everything is backed by their 100% guarantee. It's holiday gifting made simple. Save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide during their Sizzle All The Way sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code T-Bone at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com, code T-Bone.